in 2 weeks moving out of the house, we had to take everything out. And then I've been the last week with contractors and stuff. So we've been working. I've actually met with some prospects, but haven't worked on the business plan yet. Haven't finished working on it.
Are the prospects having to do with sports agents?
No. They're different prospects. So one of the prospects was, I had mentioned to you that one of my clients referred him. And we thought he had about $300,000 or $400,000. It turns out he has over $1 million to invest. So he's actually a qualified prospect.
Great.
And he may have some more in the near future, because he's him and a partner are launching a rum line. Well, not launching it. It's overseas, but they're bringing it here to be the distributor.
Okay.
So, you know, there may be some further growth there. They're actually doing raising a capital campaign, and he owns the majority interest in it. So that $1 million may become significantly more. And he's a young guy in banking.
Is he in the spirits business?
No, his regular business is he works in commercial financing.
All right.
And then this he owns a majority interest in Barbarum, which is a new brand distributing here in the US.
You said you also met with another prospect.
I did meet with the other prospect. This was the one that reached out to us. He's engineer. Sorry, he's the engineer that works for one of these large regional building developers.
Yeah.
And he's actually going to be moving firms now here in June, July. So he's going to get a big bonus to move firms. And we're, you know, talking about rolling over his 401k that he had previously at Vanguard, plus the one he has now, plus increasing his savings. He's the one that's more around the $500,000 mark, but he has a lot of potential.
Okay, good. So how is Roxanne? So
I met with them and did the financial plan. I met with him and did the financial plan.
Oh, good.
And presented it, and then we're making some changes now and going from there.
Okay. Are you guys adjusting to the new normal here, or what are you doing financially with your clients?
Well, I've been adding commodities. I've been adding private real estate for a while now, for all going back to last year. You know, reducing large cap growth. You know, we've always kept our bond portfolio very short. So we don't have a lot of risk there with the increasing rates. And then we're actually looking now that we may start adding some a little bit longer term bonds now when rates continue to go up in the next 2 or 3 months.
Okay. Very good. So you've been ahead of the curve.
Yeah, because I do a lot of alternatives. So I've done a lot of private real estate for my clients, a lot of hedge funds. You know, we still have some private equity on the books that, you know, is about a 10 or 12 year investment period.
Are you getting some feedback?
Oh, I'm getting a little bit of feedback, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know why it took me in as a separate participant. As if you look on the screen, there's three of us, and that's actually me.
Yeah, I know. It took you in as a phone call.
Yeah.
But usually we don't get feedback.
Yeah, because it'll give me a separate. It usually gives me the same window. It doesn't put me in as a separate participant.
Why don't we try hanging that up now and just using your audio on the computer, or at least mute it for a second. Let me hear how it sounds on the video, on the audio on the computer again.
Okay. Hello?
Yeah. Well, that sounds clear.
Okay. So that's the computer.
Yeah, that's better. That's better. I don't know. Sometimes it's the, if the signal isn't strong enough, it garbles like, the pixels garble. And then,
yeah,
you know, that's where we get screwed up. Well, what can I do, for you?
Well, I saw you hosted a webinar, as far as the inflation. What are some of the things that, you know, other FAs are doing? And I haven't had a chance to view the webinar.
Yeah, it's this Thursday at 4:00. So.
Oh, it's tomorrow.
Yeah. So I'm actually not running that. One of my associates is, and he's got his own guest speaker. So we'll both learn from that one.
Okay.
I did do an updated one with Bill Cates. You know, I did one before with Bill. And now I just did it again. And that was kind of fun.
Is that your webinar or through his podcast?
That's my webinar.
Okay. Because I know he has a podcast now, right?
Yeah. You'd be able to go on our website and I think be able to see that again. If you want to see it. But it was...
Okay.
You know, there wasn't... The most important thing that I, you know, that didn't come out of that was this idea of not accepting, you know, you and I have talked about it. We spent some time on it, but not accepting a name, not accepting a phone number, not accepting the fact that somebody will call you. It's probably the single most important thing that FAs do the worst. And I can't tell you, you know, I would tell you the guys that I think are really good at getting referrals. I just got a bunch of feedback.
Yeah, I lost you there.
All right.
I left you at the guys that do the best at getting referrals.
All right. I don't know. Why would we be getting feedback? Is your telephone still on?
No, my telephone is off. I hung that up.
So weird. Let me unplug my mic. All right. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you good.
All right. No feedback. No feedback.
No feedback.
Okay. So look, even when guys are doing VIPSA and they're doing it right and they're asking for and getting referrals, the place they fail, and it seems like every one of them fails here, is not getting the appointment. They accept a name, a phone number, or an I'll have him call you thing. So do you remember what you do instead of that?
You set up an appointment with the person who's giving you the referral for a later date for, today is Wednesday. Why don't I give you to next Wednesday? You know, and we'll so you could speak to your right. contact.
What's the question though, Rick, that you asked? It's a really important question. It's the most important question.
The question to ask the client giving you the referral?
Correct.
Can we do a phone call together, or can you make the introduction? And
the question is, how would you suggest that we meet?
Oh, yeah.
Memorize that. I don't want you to ever have this question again.
You know, one of the things in 75 Hard is reading 10 pages a day. And I just actually reread Supernova Multiplier and Bill Gates. And that was the previous book that I just finished reading.
Good. Good going.
Well, not good, because I already forgot what I just read. So,
all right. So make a sticker out of it. Okay. So I got these stickers, right?
Yeah.
And I stick them right here. How would you suggest that we meet? I want you to write that down. Do you have a sticker with you?
I don't have a sticker. Still got everything in boxes, so to say. So we're organizing and getting rid of stuff. But I do have a sticker. I do have a pack of stickers in my office box.
Okay. So write it down then. How would you suggest that we meet?
I just did.
All right.
Here are my.
All right. So, because then, you see, with that question, you then have the ability to create the next part of the conversation. All right. So the next part of the conversation is, gee, I don't know, says the customer. And you say, why don't we get together and do a Zoom, or let's get together and have lunch, or let's get together and do a conference call. So you gotta suggest something, because they're not going to know how to do it. But you never do anything other than those three.
Okay. So how
would you suggest that we meet? And he says, okay. Oh, why don't we have lunch? Great. We just solved it, right?
Yeah.
He says, well, why don't we? I'm not sure. He's in North Carolina. Oh, that's no problem. Why don't we do a Zoom call, and I'll take care of it.
Okay.
Right? You want to take care of everything. And he said, when should we do it? Well, today's Wednesday. Why don't we do it next Wednesday at this time? And will that work? And he goes, yeah, that would probably work. All right. So why don't I give you till, let's say, next Monday afternoon? If I don't hear from you, I'll either text you or email you or call you. That'd be all right? Yeah, that'd be fine. Text worked best. Okay, text. So Wednesday, Tuesday afternoon or Monday afternoon, you text him and he doesn't get back to you. Then you call him and then he gets back to you and says, yep, I set it up. It's Wednesday at 4:00. I said, I need the phone number to get him on the webinar. Okay, here's his phone number. So Wednesday at 4:00, and I'll send him an Outlook invitation and send one to you.
Okay.
Now, Rick, this is not going to work unless you practice it. So you got to, you know, the just do it stuff means you got to do this. And you got to do it not because you're going to be perfect, but you need to do it just like, you do it with any sport. You got to practice. And so you got to go out. In this case, you got to do it in the real world. So, you know, don't, I mean, you're good at asking for introductions. So, you know, do a brainstorming session and try and get some introductions and then practice this. How would you suggest that we meet? Because that, as weird as it is, I mean, some of my best guys, I go, so tell me how, you know, what kind of, how you doing in prospects? Well, I got two good prospects. They sent me an email, or they said their guys would call them. I go, yeah, so how's that working for you? You know, nothing, right? Radio silence. And then, yeah. I mean, those are all dead ends. Those are, you know, if it, so you basically have to call the guy's bluff and say, you know, let's meet. Let's meet.
Yeah.
Right? If you're serious about this guy needing help, let's meet. And I have a client this morning that, you know, I'm kind of daring him to try things, and he did, and he got a nice introduction, which is going to turn into a nice client. So he's all excited about this. Well, shockingly, it worked, right?
Yeah. Well, now I'm not going to have a choice whether to do it or not, because now I'm going into phase one of 75 hard. And in phase one, you have to add what they call a power list, the three things that you have to do a day to advance you forward. And that's going to be one of the things. So if I don't do it, I fail the phase.
Wow. Wonderful. I love it. Yeah. 75 hard, second phase.
Yeah, that's part of the Live Hard program. Seventy-five hard is like the pre-phase, then phase one, phase two, and phase three.
What is
phase
three?
You'll love phase three.
What is phase three?
Phase three is, you know, you do 75 hard, you two workouts a day, 10 pages of reading, drink a gallon of water, take your picture. And then the things that you add is, you got to talk to a random stranger and have a conversation every single day. So like if you're in the grocery store, it's not like, hey, hello, you know, hey, how's it going? No, you got to have a conversation with them. And the other one is a daily random act of kindness.
Wow.
And it can't just be, oh, I'm going to buy the guy behind me in line, you know, a cup of coffee every single day when I go to Starbucks, you know, because it has to be something different, you know, something that makes you go out of your way to do something.
Random act of kindness.
Yeah.
You know, that's like giving an introduction, right?
Yeah.
So why don't you make your random act of kindness giving an introduction?
Yeah.
That would fit on our giving board then.
Yeah.
And I'd be really curious as to the results. Clearly they're getting results from this, right?
Yeah. Yeah, so there are.
What have you seen as results of this? Do they publish something? Do they do a video on it? Do they give testimonials? So
they're on Instagram and Facebook. They have a page, you know, the hashtag 75 hard that people post their stories to and stuff like that. The guy who started this, that's actually how he built his business. That's why he made it one of the phases, is because he started a nutritional supplement store. And they started it, his story is really interesting. They started it when they were like 19, 20 years old. They just had enough capital to pay rent for the year, and they had to prepay the rent for the year because the landlord didn't think that they were going to be able to do it. So they had to, like, you know, finance everything on credit cards, their supplies, and they rarely ever had any supplies. And he said, wow, he was really shy.
talking to people. So his every day, what he did until he got better at sales was he would just go to the local grocery store and just strike up conversations with random people. And conversations, not, hey, how you doing? You know, nice, have a nice day, whatever, you know, just conversations. And that's how he ended up becoming good at sales and building up his business and then becoming one of the top speakers in the world.
And how
so
about
that hashtag? There's a bunch of stories of people doing
it. Of people doing it and actually doing it and then having success.
Yeah.
And the random acts of kindness, what have been the stories from those?
Well, like, you know, volunteering at a shelter, you know, going and feeding, you know, the homeless, you know, things. It's not more of the introduction. It's more of, you know, doing charitable things of people going out of their way that they normally wouldn't do. You know, obviously you could buy a cup of coffee for somebody or pay for somebody's groceries or whatever. But he says, if you're wealthy, that's not really, you know, after a while, you're not really going out of your way. It's just a cop out, right?
Right.
So you have to do something. His thing is if you have to decide between A and B, and A is harder than B, you always do A. If B is easy for you, you don't do B, you do A. So obviously if, you know, somebody is struggling paying, you know, paycheck to paycheck, and they go and pay for somebody's groceries, that's a huge random act of kindness because they're, you know, they're putting the person. But, you know, somebody who's, you know, very wealthy, that's not going to be the same thing. So it's different for everyone. You know, helping out a stranger, they got a flat tire on the road, you know, things like that, which I wouldn't do because it's very dangerous.
I agree.
Not that somebody's going to do something to you, but I've heard a lot of stories of people, you know, causing accidents and things like that instead of, you know, calling a tow truck or something like that. Like I told my daughter, if you break down in the road, you never try to change the tire or anything. You call roadside assistance, call the police, call whoever to come get you, set up, you know, the codes, cones and all that, and then have a tow truck take you out.
Yeah, it's a great way to get carjacked or kidnapped or.
Well, we've known people who have gotten killed on the highway trying to change tires.
I know that too.
Yeah.
All kinds of.
That's my biggest concern.
That's a good point. It's really good.
Yeah.
Well, that will be interesting. So when do you get to phase three?
So phase one, phase two, and phase three are each 30 days. You can start them whenever, right? But before you start phase two, you obviously have to finish phase one.
But you can't, can't backslide one day, right?
So if you backslide on phase, if you backslide on 75 hard, you have to start over at the beginning of 75 hard. If you backslide on phase one, you have to start over at the beginning of phase one. If you backslide on phase two, you have to start at the beginning of phase two. If you backslide on phase three, you lost the whole year.
Oh,
God. You have to start all the way on 75 hard. But they're each 30 days, those three phases. You could start them whenever. The program has to be done.
If you get sick, you got to start over again?
If you get, I was sick, during this phase and I worked out every single day. I never stopped.
So no excuse.
No excuse. I mean, I could have started over, but I didn't want to start over because it was like around day 50 or something like that I got sick. That's 25 days. Yeah, maybe like a month ago I got sick. And so I just kept working out. I had one day where I had a lighter workout, but I still got the workout in.
Okay, so your random strangers that you're going to talk to are going to all be sports agents.
Yeah. Well, here's what I was going to mention to you. The gym that I go to, there's a couple of guys they're training, NFL players, and actually a guy, Canadian football player, that played at UN. There's the gym that I go to has a trainer that trains all these guys in the off season. So that's going to be one of the, you know, talking to these guys.
Yeah, don't make too big a deal out of it. Try and just get their accounts, and if you can't, move on.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, don't make that a long process because they're either going to do it or they're not.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you can make friends with them if you want to, but you know, sometimes we work and work and work, and then nothing happens. You know, it's just like, wait a minute. The prospect is just a prospect. Don't make them a bigger deal than they are.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, and the more prospects you have, the less you have to make them a bigger deal, right?
Right.
Because right. It's like Lords of the Ring or what is it? The Hobbit?
Precious. So precious.
Precious, yes. The key is to get rid of the prospects. Try and either make them accounts or get rid of them. Don't let them stay around for a long period of time.
Yeah.
Prospecting is just a process and it's a numbers game. It truly is. Even if you're a big producer, it's still a numbers game. You're still going to not have 100% closure. I don't care how good your referrals are and I don't care how great your process is, but my job is to help you get better and better at it. But if you don't go out to the golf course and practice and play golf, I can't help you.
Yeah.
All right. Right. I'm a good golf coach. I can't help you unless you play golf. Right.
Yeah.
So the same here. Unless you get in the arena, I can't help. You got to give me case point stories, situations where you need advice and fit like this. What's the question you're supposed to ask? What is the question you're supposed to ask, by the way?
How do you suggest that we meet?
Bingo. See what I mean? You had to think for a second.
Yeah. No. I was waiting for you to finish.
So that's it. I want you to be able to, just that fast. Next time I ask it, what's the question? How would you suggest that we meet? Because if you don't have that on the tip of your tongue, you're not going to get the appointment.
Yeah.
You're going to get a phone number. You're going to get a name. You're going to get, I'm going to have them call you. You're going to get some crap. And that's not what you will accept. That's
not what you will accept.
Yeah.
Got it?
Got it?
All right. Well, I admire your 75 hard.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's very impressive.
It's my third time through.
Well, it's you keep coming back to it. You know, the key in goal setting is not that you get off the path.
Yeah.
It's what's the key then? If you get off the path, what is it?
You get back on it.
And how fast?
Yeah.
What was that time you were off?
Well, I was off, about 30 days, and I was off because that's when we got Corona. So that's when I got off. Not because I felt horrible or anything, because I didn't want to go to the gym and, you know, infect anyone, you know, stuff like that. I was being more cautious. But I was off from the program for about 30 days, but about 3 weeks in or so, two or 3 weeks in, I started working out once I was already over.
And then
I started the program.
About 35 pounds over the holidays.
Yeah.
That wasn't Corona.
No, that was me eating.
All right, so but seriously.
A lot of people don't eat on Corona. I overate on Corona. I was like.
So anyway, the key in goal setting is that everyone gets off the path. The question is, how long did it take them to get back on the path? Some year people get off for 2 years. That's no good. Yeah. Some people get off for one day. And that's the key. Back on the path, back on the path, back on the path, back on the path.
Okay, so you asked about the phases, right?
Yep.
This is actually one of the phases, what you're talking about getting off the path. So between phase one and phase two, you're required to wait a minimum of 30 days without doing the program before you start phase two to condition you to see what happens to you when you don't have these requirements. You can still work out and do the program, but if you don't do it, nothing happens. To condition you that we are going to have things that come up in life and we fall off track and to condition you to get back on track. So you can wait 30 days. You have to wait 30 days. You can wait 60, 90, whatever, but you have to wait to get back on to phase two. And then that's when you start phase two.
That's really interesting. So they're training your mind to realize that you're a fallible human being and that you're going Correct. To, you're going to get off the path.
Yeah. He says you strive for perfection, but the reality is, you know, no one's going to do it. But if you do, more power to you, you know.
Really good. I like it a lot.
Yeah.
I like the testimonials on YouTube. What are they on?
Hashtag 75 hard on Instagram and Facebook. And then I think it's hashtag live hard.
Good. All right. I'm going to do some homework and look at those.
And he has a podcast that he talks about it and stuff like that.
Okay. All right. Take care of Roxanna and
we'll do.
Stay on the path.
All right, take care. Thank you, Rob.
Thanks, Rick. Bye-bye.